It's about this time every Wednesday we talk about the Dictionary of Sydney. I'm very excited to be doing this. Dr. Lisa Murray joins me in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, last week we spoke about Kate Lee, the sly grog queen.
That's
and this
right.
week you've got her nemesis to chat about with us.
Yeah, that's right. I thought we couldn't talk about Kate Lee without also talking about Tilly Devine. And she was quite a formidable figure and definitely Kate Lee's rival during this sort of interwar period and going right up into the 1950s.
Oh, that far ahead.
Yeah. She was, the two of them really dominated Sydney's organised crime scene for quite a while. And the part of the reason they were able to get around it was that there was a particular law that was passed in the early 20th century that basically said that men couldn't derive profit from prostitution and soliciting and brothels and pimping.
Mm-hmm.
But the law didn't say anything about women. So basically both Tilly Devine and Kate Lee realised this and used it to their advantage to some extent.
It's an incredibly entrepreneurial spirit.
It is, actually.
It is.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's not to say there wasn't a darker side to what they were doing. I mean, Tilly Devine was a prostitute. She was born in London. She came out to Sydney as a war bride.
Oh.
And she really, I guess, she continued on in her ways in Sydney. When you can make a lucrative buck mm-hmm. or three from prostitution, you know, she continued on in that way. But then, you know, as she got older, soliciting gets harder as you get older often. And so she decided to use this loophole to become more of a brothel owner. So she owned or managed brothels through Darlinghurst, Woolloomooloo, and up into Surry Hills. Surry Hills was more Kate Lee's territory. Darlinghurst was really Tilly Devine's area.
And those areas at this time were quite, let's call them politely, slums, really, weren't they?
They were considered slums. They were certainly lower working class. There were a lot of people who were really going day to day just trying to, you know, make a buck and feed themselves. And it was a pretty rough, tough area. And Tilly was particularly known around Palmer Street. That was where she really...
That was her stomping ground?
That was her stomping ground. And so she mainly did. She was mainly kind of recognised as a brothel owner. But like Kate Lee, she dabbled in other things. So Kate Lee was more known as a sly grog person. And the reason sly grog became big was because of 6 o'clock closing, mm-hmm. which was introduced during World War One. But Tilly Devine, she was known more for her brothels, but also she dabbled in sly grog. And the drug trade, particularly cocaine, was quite big in the interwar period. So that sort of supplemented some of her business. But she was a tough character. And while it's sort of recorded that women who worked for her in her brothels sort of said she was really tough on them, and she often was in court, even though she was a madam, not soliciting herself, she was still hauled before the courts for assault and indecent language and consorting with criminals. That was another thing. You could, if you're just hanging around with criminals, you could be arrested and fined. So she was quite the character, but in the end, I suppose the other really interesting about these characters is that, the way that the media also courted them, like we kind of think of celebrity as being a 21st century kind of phenomena with social media and smartphones and things. But actually, even in the early 20th century, newspapers were huge. There were sort of newspapers published in the morning as well as in the evening. And so they could cover the news of the day quite effectively, and of course an era before television as well. So the cult of these underworld figures became something that that some of the newspapers traded on, particularly there was one called The Truth, which actually
wasn't. Yeah.
Tell much truth at all, but really kind of reveled in this underworld scene and the salacious gossip of politics and corruption and crime.
Nice to see a proud history of yellow journalism in Australia. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and so it's really interesting actually because the truth has actually just been recently digitised by the National Library of Australia. So we can now go even into more detail chasing through the salacious stories of some of Sydney's underworld and corrupt politicians. So, you know, there's
that is incredible. Lots I did not know that was a project that they were doing.
Yeah, look, the National Library of Australia has this fantastic consolidated catalogue called Trove. And one of the major things they've been investing a lot of money in is around the digitisation of newspapers, which means that it's all sort of OCR'd so you can, it makes them searchable. And it's absolutely extraordinary. It has totally busted out what we can do as historians in terms of the nitty-gritty research, trawling through all different newspapers.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad to see that actually happening.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But a lot of that work's actually stopping because the federal government has cut funding to Trove. So while I don't want to get too political, I will say fund Trove because it makes an extraordinary difference to so many researchers who actually can then tell us so much more about where we've come from and how Australia has got to where it is through history.